First of all, I'd like to welcome you to Tuesday Evenings at the Modern. Thank you so much for being here tonight. My name is Terry Thornton. I'm curator of education. And as you know, those of you that come every week, it is my great privilege to be a part of this program. Tuesday Evenings is an ongoing lecture series, 10 lectures in the fall, 10 in the spring. I think most of you are aware of that. I have to say we have had a great lineup this fall, and we continue to have a great lineup. This week completes the September lectures, and after John has time to edit tonight's lecture, you can find all of the September Tuesday evening podcasts available on our website, including the Carol Walker lecture last week, as well as the summer reading sessions that were in conjunction with that exhibition. So I encourage you to get online and find those if you want to revisit that lecture, or if you were not able to get in last week for that lecture. Let's see. Next week, we will be off for, we'll take a little break, and we'll return then on October 14th for the Austin-based architect Lawrence Speck as he presents recent works and thoughts, and that is in conjunction with Fort Worth's AIA jury competition, of which he is one of the jurors. So I invite you back on October 14th. Next week, spend a Tuesday evening in front of the TV, I guess. Tonight's presentation brings our attention to the Modern's exhibition, Hubbard and Burschler, No Room to Answer, which recently opened on September 14th. And just to note, the members opening that Ike frightened us into postponing has been rescheduled for October 10th. So those of you who are members, mark your calendars and be on the lookout for those invitations. And those of you who are not members, it might be worth getting a membership to be here for that event, because the artists will be here that evening. I hope, in addition, of course, that the members opening will give you an opportunity to go in and spend more time with the exhibition, which I hope you've had an opportunity to see at least your first visit. This is one of those exhibitions that invites you back again and again. And it does require time, but I think you're well rewarded for that expenditure. As most of you know, it is a beautiful and compelling survey of photographs and video installations by Teresa Hubbard and Alexander Burschler, curated by our own Andrea Carnes. Teresa and Alexander will actually be here again for Tuesday evening lecture to give us all of their secrets on November 11th. But tonight we have the unique perspective of Hans Christ, who has recognized the value in this work, included it in exhibitions, and with his partner, Iris Dressler, contributed to the exhibition catalog, as well as providing a venue for No Room to Answer in Stuttgart at the Württembergischen Kunstverein, where he and Iris have been co-directors since 2005. In addition to this position, in 1996, Hans and Iris founded Hartfair Median Kunstverein as an independent platform for presentation of contemporary art. And I just have to say that I think this, their work in their current positions, and the nature of the exhibitions they have curated, including Stan Douglas, Past Imperfect, which was this past year, the third Seoul International Media Art Biennale in 2004, and Say Hello to Peace and Tranquility, which was a group exhibition that included the work of Hubbard and Burschler in 2002. I think all of this speaks to the innovation and intelligence that Hans and Iris bring to their endeavors and the contributions they have made to the larger discourse of art. Tonight, we are pleased to have Hans Christ here to present his considered perspective on electronic media in art, video art, and the influence of mass media, and to share some of his observations and experiences as a curator and director of a Kunstverein. So now, if you would, please join me in giving Hans a very warm welcome.
Well, first I have to say thank you for the very warm welcome to my first trip to Fort Worth, and especially to Texas. So thank you for the possibility to be here. I also have a little bit to apologize for this fact that my English is German English, is German with English vocabularies. So when I will speak to you, it's for sure that it will create some misunderstanding. I have a very dense program for you. I hope, we spoke a lot about it, I can make it in 60 minutes. And I hope even less than 60 minutes that there are time for questions. If not, we should look for a possibility afterwards also of the talk. The Württembergische Kunstverein, it's for every foreigner, it's a tongue breaker, you can say that, something like that. Is a Kunstverein, and it's a very, Kunstvereine are a very specific institutional form in Germany, based in the 19th century when there was a time over that the art, the production of art, the presentation of art was controlled by the aristocrats and the church. It was the first bourgeois initiative, and it is an association from the beginning. There were some people who have money, leisure time, and interest to create their own regional approach on contemporary art. So from the beginning they spoke about contemporary art and founded all over Germany in these different regions Kunstvereine. The Kunstverein in Stuttgart was founded in 1827, so it's one of the oldest ones. I make a long story very short. They also invented lotteries for art, so they are also the, one of the inventors of what we call today the art market. Since the 1934, this was very, since the Third Reich, everything was very regional orientated. And then after 1945, also by this compensation of this speaking about the Entartete Kunst, they started a more international program. And nowadays you can say they are the platform for contemporary art in Germany. So if you come to Germany, you should recover one or two or three or four or five of the 250 German Kunstvereine you can find in all little villages in Germany, and even in a small village you can find a very good program still based on this idea of an association. Our association has 3,000 members and 50% of them are artists. When we came to Stuttgart, we changed some aspects in the house itself. Our orientation is not only, this has also to do with my personal history, it's quite global orientated, so we are not only representing the typical Western orientated art. So when you're looking on the web page, you can find a lot of information. It's one of these internet pages which I call No Design, which is also design, but you get an impact of information, and you have here by accident now for the current exhibition or current publication three good examples of the program. This is Wild Signals. It is an international group exhibition with 11 artists, and you can see around 100 art pieces. And it's also a thing we are not looking for this, when we say contemporary, we are not orientated on this young, fresh, flesh, organized idea of exhibitions. In this you will find people born in 1936 till born 1979. So this is not a program. But when we're looking for content, we don't care about this kind of question, which are in the moment very fashionable in the art market also. The Post-Capital Archive, I will speak over this a little bit later. It's a quite political orientated exhibition. Or another good example, and this catalog appeared a week ago, is the exhibition with the Korean photographer No Sun Tak. I will go now a little bit into the town. But I really would say you should take a short look on the webpage because you have a lot of downloads. Every text is which is public by us, we are very much aware of this open source mentality that you get as much knowledge back from this webpage. You can recover really a lot. So, oops. Okay. So the Kunstverein itself, it's placed at the central square in the city, and it's quite unique because it's this is the central square you see here. Here's the shopping mall. There's another museum for a regional collection and also contemporary art. And here you have the State Opera. Here's the Parliament. Here's the Ministry for Finance, and here is the well, this is quite known as the Sterling Building, is a Staatsgalerie. So it's in the center of the city. And this has also some impacts on our program because we have to react on that there is a Western-orientated collection, a big one in the Staatsgalerie, and a regional one on the other side of the square. The building exists out of an old part and a part which is built in the 60s, and it's a pure white cube. This is the front side, this deer on the top, this golden deer on the top is the regional symbol. So when you're looking on the... Oops, there's something missing. Ah, okay, but you get it. So when you're looking at this building, you have this representative cupola, you have the little cabinets around it, and you have a glass space and the white cube at the end. So you have nearly, the old part is built in 1913. We're speaking about 9,000 square feet of exhibition space. And you have all the history of the perception of contemporary art of the last 100 years, nearly. The cabinet for the flaneur, the cupola for the representation, and the highly ideological space, the white cube. So this is a view in the cupola with a piece by Dutch artist Peter Bogas. This is in the transparent space. And this is a view in the Noos & Tak exhibition, which finished in May this year. The white cube. Another perspective in our program is that we try to recover artists who seems to be going, the memory of them are lost. So Anna Oppermann was an incredible important figure as a female artist. She was present on Documenta in 1977 and 1987 and produced a form of art from which we believe that it's still, when you look at it, it's looking super contemporary, that it's still very important for young artists to recover that. Her best decade was the 80s, but it was also the decade where intelligent art didn't have had any chance to come into museums collection because it was covered in Germany by all these big German painters, and they really changing totally the politics of the museums, and this was the first decade where the art market and the politics of collection of museum merged really deeply in together. So the problem of her is that she is not on stage in the museum. So sometimes as a house for really contemporary art, we're saying we recover these forms of historical, in this science position, to mediate it for a younger public, or to mediate it for a general public. Huh? Another way how we try to direct the house as a global collaboration. In this project, we are asking curators from abroad to work with us together. They're coming from countries like Brazil, a lot from East Europe, from India, from Korea, etc., etc. It's that we invited groups from different initiatives to curate an exhibition in the house. It's not at the end, the idea that out of this we establish a homogeneous exhibition. It's much more the idea of having the different perspectives on global production. Today we see a lot of this art in exhibitions, but mostly we don't know the context of production. And this project was a very important project for us. We've done that over 2 years. And our job is then to moderate the process and to create an infrastructure for this platform to come on stage at one place, but also to have a feedback back into the country. So there was a cash flow from our house and the support we got by it into New Delhi or to Rio de Janeiro, etc. This is the Middle Korean section in the exhibition. Another thing we're doing regularly is student workshops, and they really can occupy the building. I'm not speaking to make a student workshop somewhere in a corner. And we try to invite people who can really speak about and work over 3 weeks with the students together. You see, this is Ute Metabauer. She was co-curator of Documenta 10. She's now director of the visual arts program at the MIT. Or Ricardo Basbaum, who was one of the artists of the last Documenta also. They're working and living and discussing together with students, and at the end we're realizing a professional displayed exhibition. This is for us in the field of mediation very important. And it's not this cash, we are not thinking that we can play an educational program in a Kunstverein, but sometimes you can bring infrastructures together. So we are not saying we're becoming an academy or a curator school or something like that. We are mainly there for exhibitions, but you can overlap infrastructure for exhibition, you can overlap with these aspects of teaching. Well, this is expanded cinema programs, a lot of different programs which are performance programs. You may know Tony Conrad. So we brought all this generation of expanded cinema, nearly 20 of them together into the house, to make live performances, also to speak about this incredible, important form of moving images art. I spoke yesterday with one of the students. No, not yesterday. No, yeah, it was yesterday with you. This is one example. It's for you in the lecture. Okay. What you saw, and it's hard to pronounce this name. This is the reason why I projected. What you saw before the whole time was a piece by an artist from ex-Yugoslavia, as he came from Serbia. And what you saw there was what he was speaking the whole time, was a sentence, what is art? Was ist Kunst? And for me, this is the starting point when I will start now to speak about this relationship of electronic media, mass media, and video art. This piece, well, I stay in the presentation. I think you saw it. This piece has all different layers of the conceptualization of an image. You saw the face, and you saw the face of the woman. She never closed her eyes. Her gaze was to a totally different place. The male question was shout to her, what is art? And touch her by giving her a different form. So you have all what Lacan says, this male construction of the female in it. You have the imaginary, the representation of the imaginary by the female. I think this is a lot also a topic in the work of Huppert and Birchler, of some of the works. You have this aspect of violence, and you have for sure the aspect of silence. This image will never answer the question, and for sure I also not tonight. So all the aspects of working with the conceptualization of an image are integrated in this piece. And there is another layer. The question is mentioned in German language, and it's this military tone. When you know a little bit about the history of Yugoslavia, it was the fact that the Croatians collaborate with the Nazis. And this change, that he don't use his native language in this image, is also a sign for a political hint in this image. And a feedback also with this history and this aspect of violence. So you have two layers of conceptualization of the image, the political and the conceptualization of the imaginary. If you like so, and sometimes I do lectures really on demand, and I'm springing through the art history. If you like so, you can say maybe in art history it was separated as in this kind of confrontation, using the real, the object of the real, the object trouvé, turning it into something different and create an imaginary of the real, which at least can't never be promised by the object itself, but it's created in this field of the imaginary. The other sides show you one of the works of John Hartfield. For me, in art history, this you will find in parallel developments in the 19th century when you're thinking about Goya, etc., etc., you will find every time this shifting between these different layers, and sometimes these layers becoming clear and obviously. And this is one, for me, two of these artists who makes them very clear and in opposition. It's a little bit of polemic. We can. This is something really to discuss. I conceptualize also my lecture here. So the models I will follow is on the one side this political appropriation. And when I'm speaking about intervention, you must accept that for me the internet is a public space. It's a public sphere. It's for me the same like moving through the public sphere here outside. Resampling and reenactment. And on the I wouldn't say on the opposite side, because the things are interlinked. As this analytical point of the void, I think Hubert and Bichler are speaking very much about this looping and movement around a certain kind. In Germany, the nice word is Leerstelle. Alexander?
Empty space.
Empty space, but Leerstelle is something different. And the psychological map of image plus narration plus space. I think the political orientation has a lot to do with the critic, and you can read that by your own. I don't want to repeat it, by all this reflection of people like Susan Sontag, who very much requesting of what is the status of when I have a reprint of the reality into the image. There's a there is a promise of reproducted image, which is a matrix from the real material, which as light is coming on this film. I add electronic media because I think there's a little bit, only to focus that on photography is a little bit a gap. If you're looking at the first system to make a voice, and as German we know very much about the microphone and the voice and the propaganda, and to organizing a hierarchy between a speaker. This is the reason why I don't like to stay behind these desks. Between speaker and public, one to many. Then the microphone is the archetype of the media age at all. This was the first and really strongest medium which can organize it. You have on the right side, you have Montadas, it's a poster from an exhibition. The title is The Press Conference. And the other one you may know, you have had a solo exhibition now in the Museum of Modern Art, is the Romanian artist Dan Pejovski. And these questions of John Hartfield are every time coming back. You never can avoid of this. We are living in a media stream and in a media age. This is a US-American group, artist group. You can take a look on the server, Free the Media, and they're reusing this image of John Hartfield. An artist I already mentioned, Daniel Garcia Andújar, is one of the co-founder of the internet platform Irrational.org in the early 90s already. He will have an exhibition now in November in the Kunstverein, and he put a kind of a polemic question on the table. First, he was putting it for itself, and he started to collect material from the internet, 250,000 files. And it's about the question, in a very polemic form. We're speaking about the post-communistic time, but we never spoke about the post-capitalistic time. We never spoke about that maybe the wall was also falling into the West. This wall was only, in our projection, only fall into the East. And he took this as a starting point to think about this term of post-capital, 1989. The internet were invented. There was a massacre on this place in Beijing. So it was a kind of, maybe this was more important than the fall of the wall. We don't know that. And the other point, and this is only a construction, is to say the other point was the attack on the World Trade Center in 9/11, 2001. When you see these images, these are not images by Daniel Garcia Andújar. His position is very clear. There's so much noise, image noise, media noise, that art shouldn't add any image anymore to this image and media noise. This is also a kind of a provocative position. This is so he only will copy material and will replace that and reinterpret that and recombine that in this exhibition. This means when you ask him about copyright, he will answer copy what? His position is clear. Everything what is in this media stream is free. It's free access. We will also have a part in the exhibition where you will find a lot of literature from Agamben till Žižek. Out of this incredible archive, he makes excerpts. He separates singular elements, and we, in the moment, discussing how the setting up of an exhibition, because it's a big problem, how to translate that in something which is totally different than the net, than this endless media stream. You must make interpretation and decisions for this. One part is about the question of war. We are facing in the moment around the world 24 wars, and these are mainly satellite wars and results out of the fall of the wall. There was in the statistic after 92 worldwide, the amount of wars grow enormous. I was thinking a lot whether I, as a German, if I can show that in US. But for me, this piece, Honor, and I only show a part of it, it's very much a work from which I would say it's much more speaking about a new quality of images. It's combining computer training programs for US Army and private camera shots in Iraq. So you have two new qualities. You have a totally private view on this soldier in the Iraq, and you have a program which promised you a certain kind of experience of war. Some psychoanalysts said already the post-traumatic discussion after the Iraq war will be much more about this discrepancy between what was promised as experience in images and what was the real.
Mature.
So this game is also on the market. It's a warrior. It was first developed by the U.S. Army. There's a very strong connection between the development of this kind of games and entertainment industry. This is totally connected. And it's based on an idea of the city map of Baghdad. Well, this was in a film, this private shot was in the community of the internet community, very much known. So, and this will be every time in combination then with different aspects of the archive. But what you can see how images now becoming constructed, how they create their own drama, how they create their own narratives also in this telling the story. They didn't kill anybody there. It's this low level of violence where you don't know how you interact with your own reality because you lost already a relationship with it by coming there with an experience which never will be proved in the real. And this is the archive of Daniel Will working along this found footage material a lot. So this is from, oops. So I would also recommend, and you can read that in quite quick at this time, this quotation of Flusser. I may, this is a trick for me. If I start to speak intellectual English, because my intellectual language is German, I will, complicated vocabularies I won't pronounce right, so you won't understand anything. So this is for me a solution also to do. Well, taking the next step also and going to a piece from which I would say it's re-questioning heavily our relationship to what we called the basement of our culture in modernism. This is the space, Win Place or Show by Stan Douglas. The images you will see, every projected image you see now in this evening is far away from the quality you see it in the exhibition itself, I have to say that. And this is a screening and a lecture. This is the same for Huppert and Birchler, it's the same for Stan Douglas. These are works you have to experience in space. I will show you first the sequence, one sequence of the piece itself. Thank you.
Paris swinging. I know it.
Gets the point of the construction of aggression in a very claustrophobic organized space. And then the next part he is explaining him the system of how to work with horse races. I will skip that a little bit because I really want to explain more about the function of the space.
It's always a nickel game. It is what it is.
So who told you that?
It's just a game, Shigeru. First, second, or third. That's the point. Skunk all three, match the pot. Got it, Don?
There's your fucking nickel.
Okay, the fight from the beginning starts again. Okay, I think for this piece, I want to explain a little bit the conceptualization between the idea of the shooting, the topic, and the context of the work. And I hope I can do that in 5 to 6 minutes. And how this all come back into the space. For me, it's one of the important points also when you go through the exhibition also of Huppert and Birchler. Take care about the different relationships between how the works are on display, why they are looped, and why they give you a certain kind of position as the person who look at it. We showed this piece, Iris and me, also in Duisburg in 2002. And this is a floor plan from 2000 in the biennial in Sydney. This was the display when we done the exhibition Past Imperfect in the last year, where we showed 14 installations from Stan Douglas. Okay, what we get to see. First, you immediately recognize that this actress represents a certain kind of stereotypes. There are stereotypes coming from a TV series about the worker milieu from the 60s. So he's reenacting an image from mass media, from TV. Second, he was recovering in his near neighborhood. Stendhal is someone who's really much working on the site where he's coming from. In Strathcona, was the planning in the 50s, in the sense of the functional city, to change a part where a lot of workers lived, and how these master plans are mostly organized. The architects have had an incredible good idea how people can live there. It was this idea of this functional city, living, infrastructure for daily life, traffic, logistic, working. By the resistance of the people who lived there in this neighborhood, they never realized the city planning. So we already have two aspects: a modern idea of a reality and the non-realization of this idea of the modernity. And Stan Douglas took this history up and he rebuilt it, one of these spaces for worker, one-to-one, as the stage for a film set, in which he placed people who looking like actors from 1960s TV milieu films in TV. So he rebuilt the complete set and rebuilt this single flat for workers. From the beginning, it was planned that also sometimes two can sleep in it, so that you already have a psychological, quite dense space, because these people mostly don't know each other. They have to live there together. The narrative you saw, and then he made a shooting of this space from each side of the set with four cameras. Two of the cameras cutted the space for the close-ups, and two guaranteed the overview, the panoramic view, which is also very known as a view of the control of space. So you have two aspects of the camera images. You have the panopticum as the idea of control, and so you have the folding and clapping of the space as a claustrophobic space. This is already organized in the set. These four cameras shooting the same scene, the same 6 minutes loop, from all four different sides of the set. I have to say, from this side of the set, only two cameras. But cutting this space permanently by this ideological aspect of the perspective of the camera, because this creates every time a certain kind of perspective. So you see that very good. Also, this is not Schuss gegen Schuss.
Shoot counter shot.
This is only organized by the clapping of the space, by the folding of the space. And then the overview, and this was organized again in a way that this 12 camera shoots were recorded on 4 DVDs. And between these 4 DVDs, you have every time the same 6 minute loop, but from different camera perspective, from every time these 4 different camera perspective. If you have a synchronizer and a switcher between, then randomly you got the opportunity that you have 206,000 combinations of the same 6 minute loop permanently out of different perspectives. So you have to spend 20,000 hours in the installation till one view will be repeated. Well, you know, museums, you don't have bedrooms there, or you are served a breakfast or coffee or something like that. So also here, it's the permanent of this construction of space as a space from which you can't flee. You can't go out. You are permanently under the condition of the construction of the space. This translated in the exhibition on two projection, which created this panorama image which you saw at once. And these two screens are organized in exactly in 7 degrees, so that from the eye point you see it permanently as a panorama, because they are coming more close. And in the middle, this is very important, it's a 2 centimeter gap, and you lose permanently also the image in this gap. So it's also again translated into the exhibition space itself. And the, on the projection, this is not something which you normally have, or which is incredibly important to make that very precise for the presentation. You heard, you got it a little bit, that there was permanently a radio playing in the sound behind the conversation of the two actors. There is this nice, but this goes too far. This is this clay imitation by a local architect, all these little elements. And you, in the background, you permanently heard also this rain. And this rain is already again looped. It's again closed this space and organized this, this space as a totally closed up space. This is very important also to have this sound on different layers in the space. When you are in the installation, you will get it, because it's part of this translation of this conceptual idea of the organization of space. And at the end, you have then this clear reconstruction of all the conditions which was set up from the first idea when you build it, the stage, how you organize the cameras. It's completely translated into the exhibition space. And speaking as a reenactment of different form, he reenacts architecture, a modern idea. He reenacts the possibility that someone was living in something which was never realized. He brought us that together, I forgot that, with another international phenomena, because you can show this piece worldwide. And what you have to do, you have a receiver in the Technik, and this receiver is playing a classical music station in every country all over the world. You have to find this station, and you can go to Asia, you can go to US, you can go to Germany, and this is even one of these unified, generalized styles of a cultural approach. So this is all connected in once. Okay, now we're coming to a house with pool. Maybe you go out. what I tried to do also here is, we are now in this part where I was saying we're speaking about the psychological map around the void. What I tried to do here is, I collected some fragments of this installation and of the film to give you some idea how complex the loops and this construction of the psychological elements are built in the work of Alexander Birchler and Theresa Hubert. Theresa Hubert and Alexander Birchler. So let's start. Let's take a look. How time is organized. Oops. So presentation of this part is over. I really made short clips. So appearance of the same person under the same emotional conditions on two different, absolute different time layers, day and night. I call this the woolen jacket. And this is the only element which connects, really, really connects. There's a piano. At least they're playing both the piano and they will wear both the same jacket in the film. So this is every time about this possibility of meeting, and at least also this is an image totally of the void. The jacket is away. Then it's replaced. And now you must see how they organize. You see, here's a shower from the back, and now you have already, she's entering. She's intervening in the space. You only see it by the moment when the light is coming. It was a very short moment. Here she tries to reorder the jacket and the system of, we don't know, the mother? Or is this only the projection of her memory? Day, night, and dream. This relationship with the gaze into the empty is, and then the starting point where something coming out of a surrealistic moment or the dream in film, when you remember films of Antonioni, he's calling that the dead time. It's a system also to reconnecting something where you merge from one psychological moment of a film into the other. And that there is a gap between which brings you into, but which doesn't address this moment also. And the interesting thing is the transition which happened here is a very, very, an image, well, you can, how these deer are coming there, why they are so close to a human. This has this capacity of dream, but it's filmed absolutely in the structure of the real. Because the dreamer is as a dreamer, as a sleeper, in the image itself. Well, it's really a pity you have the image quality in... Well, you have the big opportunity to take a look at. Well, you even could speak a lot about this as now this moment of losing any deep space of the image, so of the flatness of the image itself. And here's the next merging, totally merging of time. So that the whole film is permanently organized by different forms of loops of time, of psychological moments, of possibilities of interpretation, and you never can come to the point that you bring that together. Is she really the daughter of, or is she only the projection of the former existence of this older woman, etc., etc.? Thank you. So this is, I call them the mechanical dynamics, and they are all integrated in this piece also. From this, every time a moment of another time layer, how they organize sequences in the film itself started also. This is sprinkler coming out of the grass, a very important turn happened with the start of this machine. This is the introduction of the gardener who will find the dead deer in the water. And the big connector also is the mechanic of the piano, which move, and this is all integrated in these images. This is now about the dynamics of space. Take a look at how people come into the scene, from which sides they're coming into the scene, how they move by coming from the one side to the other side in the scene, the movement between exterior and interior of the building itself. And this is not cut. She opens this, she coming from there. All this is speaking about the possibility of this overlapping between the two, but they never meet in this form of construction. Then the gaze on the bed, and she's coming from the side back. So this is an incredible organization of forms of space. She opened this. And then every time also addressing moments of heavy interpretation, where you immediately think this is now a structure of a narrative where you can catch a relationship. I call this the error and the force. I miss it, but you saw it. The mistake appear in the moment when the high heel appear. So when this still life, which is going over the still life, is at the moment of the high heel. And this is for sure, you can make a complete discourse about the representation of the female and the high heel as a construction of the female body also. And at the moment where she, the older, makes a mistake, she will, the young one, and starts the speed of the piece. I know that it's disappointing that it never ends. Well, last but not least, the organization of the gaze itself in all these different sequences, and the organization by the gaze and so the gaze is also every time a point of emptiness and void, because you never can see the person at the point from which I gaze at you. Oh. I think this is because of the JPEG file behind. This is very often related with the shot to the on the outside of the house again, with relation of gazes. And this is so loaded with all stereotypes, you know, about memory, looking into the fire. Now this relationship with the gardener. The gaze in the pool against the shot on the outside. Okay, ready. I think it's the hour is 60 minutes. Well, if so it's a very dense, and it's you can on each of this topic you can even speak an hour or a half day or your whole life. This is so I try to make it as to get some aspects for this exhibition, also looking at things which going on in other contexts of using this kind of image resources and being very much aware also of existing images and working with the psychological map of it. And to explaining also why they needed to have the space of the permanence. A piece like House with Pool needed the exhibition site. A piece like Wind, Place or Show needs the exhibition site. It's made for the museum. It's made for the Kunstverein. And this is integrated in all structures, how they are organized. If you screen them and you look them from A to B, you understand nothing of the piece itself. Hey.
It's frustrating to read about video art. It's frustrating to read about video art and see stills and not be able to read the whole piece. Is there a resource online where you can see good video art?
Big issue. All the artists don't trust the system of being online with their pieces because there was too much Missbrauch?
Misuse.
So first we have to recreate the trust between the artist and the institution. So that you can't see at end a compression like I show here in an exhibition. There are now new forms and it's developing. There are some archives who's showing excerpts. One of the biggest and most interesting resources, I would say, is UBUCOM. It's this network of some US universities. But you can find one day a piece there and it disappear on the next day because they didn't have had permission.
In the future, you believe that people, the viewer, could place themselves as they do now in comparison to computer systems into a two-life as an avatar and kind of interact, the viewer interacts with this type of art and then could be included in the loop because people love to see themselves.
Well, I think this is actually already possible if you're thinking about structures of Second Life or so on. But the most boring stuff about this is mostly a repetition of the real life. Every time when I'm looking at these possibilities, which already really exist, in this form, because I think it's less a physical, it's more a mental transition which happens there. You carry your own stereotypes into the media and you repeat what you already educated and experienced in the so-called real life, which is already covered by a lot of images and image experiences or media experiences. So in the field of So I would say this already exists, but it's not very creative because it's only a technical phenomena. All these artists are showing they are not so much interested only in this technical phenomena. They are much more interested in the analysis of the technique and a certain kind of reinterpretation of technology and reusing it on a content level. And this is then the point. Can we do something on a very intelligent content level in, at one example, Second Life? I don't know. Or I can't know because some of the aesthetical structures which happens there when they are good art, I can't read anymore because I don't have enough experience with what this art is generating in it. So we need also a new knowledge to speak about this from the perspective of art history is the wrong word because art history never have the right instruments to read something very contemporary. This is the problem. Yeah?
Are you familiar with a Russian videography that's was a title Last Riot?
No.
Was at the Venice Biennale where they incorporate animation with.
Mm. Yeah, now I remember.
Your take on that? Your take on that and using, you know, classical music, Wagnerian, opera.
Hey, well, I saw the piece, and it's a very dramatic piece. And this is I can't say it's not my cup of tea, because in this case, when you're working with this very fashionable elements, I would like to see more clear the recombination of what they use, because these are all standards technology, and they play and they're reusing a lot of aesthetics, and then I prefer much more a clear separation, because they are super dramatic. This is so suggestive stuff that it's playing the same rule like the totalitarian structure of the cinema itself. It's a kind of a repetition of that. So they don't give you any space of reflection when you see it, when you look at it. And so for this, I would say this is also very House with Pool. I would say it's a very suggestive piece also. And you can fall in it by this piano music, but you are permanently also at different points you start to reflect much more how this, what you see, is organized. Also, you make your hand, or how to say, man kann hinter die Oberfläche greifen.
Reach behind the screen.
Okay, this is sorry that I miss you first translating. So I saw it. I saw different pieces also from them, but I'm a little bit critical. It was super successful on the Venice Biennale. That's fine.
Thank you so much.
Well.
really interested in your analysis of Husband and Pool, the Hubbard Birchler piece. Mm. But it seems like a filmic analysis in a different way than the Stan Douglas piece.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have something to say about that? I mean, because there are people that are making more installation-ish kind of pieces that are sort of idiomatically videoed, like Stan Douglas or Harry Hill or Diane Vader. The pieces here are more, use the vocabulary of movies more. Does that mean something to you?
This Stan Douglas and Gary Hill, I would be a little bit careful, guys. This is, for me, Gary Hill is playing another conceptual position. I understood, right, Gary Hill.
Yeah, but for
the generation, I would say Alexander Birchler and Theresa Hubert are very close with in some aspects, with Stan Douglas. I make a specific focus. I want to speak about the organization of space from the first conceptual point to the installation space. You would find a similar question also in the body of work of Theresa Hubert and Alexander Birchler. And I would also, when you're going at one example along the complete installations of Stan Douglas, you also have to speak from the perspective of a film history, reusing of film and film aesthetics. But this was not the point I want to speak about in this case, because they reusing. When you see the new piece from them, from Stan Douglas Video, it's completely addressed to the film. It's called Video because it's addressed to the film of Beckett film. And it's referring a lot on the history of film and the context of film and reusing film strategies. This is the one of the points that even also when you want to write about this different works, you every time have to do it from two perspectives, from the context of contemporary art, of art, and from contemporary film and film. I would say that because Gary Hill is another case, he's much more conceptualizing, at one example, the philosophical approach about language. And then it's very much, and he's, when this incredible work from him, How Goes Things in a Muddle? This is a 34 minutes film from him. Where the actors are speaking backwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the film is played. They're speaking in the shooting backwards.
And then they learn to say it backwards.
It's an incredible piece, but there immediately you see the conceptualization of this aspect of language. And there would make a difference also in generations how they use the media.
I think maybe in his newer pieces, like Stan Douglas, they're moving in other directions,
yeah.
But I see what you mean.
Yeah. Well, there are differences and similarities. Mm-hmm. He's very, well. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.